Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 50. We made it to 50 episodes.
We made it.
That's crazy, bro.
We only have two more episodes, and then we'll be at 1 year.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so one thing we talked about at the end of the last episode that we did, by the way, we have William and Elizabeth here with me.
Hello.
Ayo.
So one thing we talked about last time I did a podcast, which was an episode with Elizabeth, was we're now almost at 1 year, which was my goal when I started the podcast, was to do an episode a week every week for a year. And I'm wondering if we should keep going after we hit a year. So I put that out there. I got one message on Facebook from someone saying, yes,
saying
please
no.
Keep doing it. But yeah, if you have a strong argument for why we should stop, I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you did. But I'd be willing
mind
to
your
listen
business.
To it.
We could treasure our first angry rant email forever.
Angry, some hate mail.
Have we gotten an angry rant?
Honestly, yes. That's how you know if you're popular on the internet, is if you get like a non-hate.
I know. I don't think we're popular enough because we haven't gotten any hate emails or hate mail or hate comments. That I'm aware of.
Maybe eventually I'll make like a fun joke that'll be super controversial.
Uh-oh. Maisie's freaking out because there's a bunny in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So quick, what's going on around our house update. Right now we have no fence. So the contractors showed up today and tore down our fence. They actually tore down the fence that separates our yard from our neighbor's yard. And we didn't know they were going to do that. So I hope that's okay with our neighbors. We didn't get a chance to talk to them about it. I wrote a big note to them and put it in their mailbox saying, I hope that's okay with you. Let us know if it's not. But we will have a brand new fence in the next couple of days. Maisie is freaking out because she can't go in the backyard. And sometimes she sees bunnies and it makes her so mad. And she wants to go chase them and bark at them and maybe, I don't know, murder them.
Oh, there's a crow back there too.
Why won't you let me murder a bunny?
It looks like it's a grackle. She's mad at the grackle for being in our yard.
And now Alexa is angry too.
Yeah.
Why did she?
I don't know. She just said, I'm not quite sure how to help you with that.
Nobody said her name.
She must have.
Sometimes you say something that sounds like it. Like
maybe when I say grackle. No? Grackle? I don't know. Something sounded like
all
name.
Mexican food. I don't know.
So we don't have a fence. Maisie. So a little bit of a Maisie update. On Saturday, we were running all around. And so we had lots of typical Saturday. Lots of people had different places to be. We were running around. Allison had to be somewhere. I had to be somewhere. Allison, also known as Mom, was out with people, and I came home later. And Maisie wasn't around, and I assumed she was in her kennel. And
oh, there is a bunny right there.
I know, it's making me so mad.
Where?
It's digging around in the dirt next to that post.
Oh, yeah, and there's a grackle.
There's all sorts of wildlife out there.
The bunny really blends in.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
I came home, and I assumed that because Mom wasn't home, I assumed maybe Mom put her in her kennel, which was like back in a guest room, just to be out of trouble while she was out of the house. And then I took a shower because I've been doing some stuff, and then Mom gets home later and she's like, hey, where's Maisie? And I said, isn't she in her kennel? And she said, no, she's not in the kennel. And so suddenly we're freaking out. We're like, well, wait a minute, where is she? And we walk all over the house yelling for her, calling for her. And then we think, well, maybe someone let her outside, and because our fence is broken, she escaped. Because she does like to escape and run around the neighborhood. But at this point, it had been hours that she'd been missing. So we figured, oh, she could be anywhere. And I actually got in the car and drove around the neighborhood. Didn't find her.
That must have been scary.
Yeah. Henry was playing with one of his friends in the neighborhood. They kept an eye out, didn't see her. Usually what happens when she escapes, it's a little bit embarrassing, but she does have mom's phone number on her tag. So usually within about 15 or 20 minutes, one of our neighbors will be like, call her or text her and say, hey, we've got your dog.
Get your dog off our property.
We've got your annoying little dog. Can you please come get her? But no one had called. We did just get her microchipped, but hadn't registered the microchip yet. So went ahead and did that. Looking all over for it, no idea where she is. And I keep thinking, you know, she wouldn't be out of the house because if she would have escaped out of the house, someone would have seen her. Like they would. Usually what'll happen is like someone comes to the door, you open the door and she squeezes out and runs away. And then you have to chase her and it's really obnoxious because every time you chase her, she feels like it's a game and she runs further away. And it makes me so mad and I want to strangle her, but I don't. So I'm looking all over for her, looking all over the neighborhood, looking all over the house and thinking, this is really bad. We may not have a dog anymore. It's been hours. Don't know where the dog is. Finally, I'm like, this is crazy. Where could she possibly be? And I think, you know, I remember when I came home, the door to our bedroom was open. Usually we leave it shut because we don't like her getting in there because there's all kinds of things you can get, like shoes and socks and stuff that she enjoys spreading around the house.
She loves shoes.
Yeah, she loves shoes. She loves to take them and move them into other places. But I remember the door was a little bit open when I got home and I thought, oh, you know, need to shut that or else the dog will get in. But I had like been in our room and I'd showered and I hadn't seen the dog. And I figured, you know, if the dog was around, it would come out and say hi to me. But I'm calling. So I'm like, well, I'll look just a little bit more. And I call her for her and call for her. And I go into our closet. She's like kind of a, you know, a walk-in closet that's got a little bit of junk in there. And I'm yelling, Maisie. And I see this cushion in the corner of the closet just move a little bit. And I think I found Maisie. And sure enough, I lift up the cushion and there she is. She's just been taking a nap in our closet underneath the cushion where I couldn't see her.
The thing is,
so I finally found her.
Besides her like darting out the door, she's actually been acting like a really good dog.
She's been better lately. She's more, she seems like she's more affectionate lately and will come when we call her, except for this one time when she fell asleep in my closet and didn't let me know she was there and made us worry. But she's generally been better, although she will still escape sometimes, and that makes me mad. Hopefully when we get our fence fixed, then at least we can. She really likes to be outside, but we'll be able to put her outside again and let her run around without worrying about her escaping.
Something that happened with me, so I checked on my Kindle just now, or like about 10 minutes ago, and I figured out that, so there's this app that me and Henry really like called Geometry Dash, and I made a level, and it was basically just a level that I hadn't uploaded a lot of levels for a while, so it was basically just a level just saying that I wasn't dead, and it was just like a small level.
So explain that. Like, so Geometry Dash is a game, and it's like an, is it like an app game that you can play on tablets
and
phones?
Yeah, it's
like,
it's one of those like platformers that are like super duper hard.
Yeah, so it's a platform game, but you can customize all your levels. Is
that
the deal?
Yeah, and a big part of it is like, there's a bunch of like famous creators that they can get their levels like featured by the creator, Rob Top. And there's like these moderators that can send levels to Rob Top to get them featured, and they can get like ratings, you can get stars from them and stuff.
So you play the game, but you also like create different levels of your own. Is that the deal?
Yeah, that's a big part of the game. But they can get like difficulty ratings and stuff. And I saw on there that I had released level 4 days ago, and it already had 540-something downloads and 77 likes. And I looked on the trending list of levels, and it was on there, which I was super excited about.
Oh, that's cool. So how many trending levels will there be?
Well, there's an endless page of it, but it was on like, I think it was on the 15th page of the trending list.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Each page has like 10 or something.
Yeah. And so yeah, 540 something people saw it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also,
and then people can like it and stuff.
Mm-hmm. 77 likes. Also, another thing about Geometry Dash is they've added a bunch of commands in that will like turn blocks on and off and like make them invisible and stuff. There's someone who used all those commands to make this like Legend of Zelda type game where you can roam around and fight monsters and like create a save point. It's really, really cool.
That's really funny.
What about you, Elizabeth? How's spring break or summer break so far?
Pretty good. Just sort of searching around for a job.
Yep. On the job hunt.
Yep.
How's Starbucks going?
They called me back and they were like, yeah, we can't hire you.
Oh. So you had a pretty good job interview with them, but it didn't work out because I heard they wanted someone that was going to be there longer than just the summer.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Well, there's still a possibility going back and working at the donut shop.
Yeah, that's true.
I think your apron is still in our closet. Anything exciting going on?
Nope.
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 Looking for a job, hanging out.
Accidentally taking like a 3-hour nap.
Complaining about how bad the Wi-Fi is at our house.
Yeah, well, I got kicked off of the Overwatch server like 7 times last night.
Did it improve when you moved?
Not really.
It's still kind of bad. Yeah, sometimes it's a little weird, like,
yeah,
like it'll work on everything except for one device.
I know, it's so weird.
I don't know how to help that. I've had that before where like my laptop will suddenly like get kicked off a lot.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll just like randomly, the internet will just randomly go off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, should we do some news?
Yeah.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right. The first story I wanted to talk about, this is actually a little bit of an old story, but it came up recently at dinner. Elizabeth's friend Bex was at dinner with us, and she brought this up. I've been meaning to have this on the podcast, but this is about one of William's favorite things, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yes. It has been confirmed. So there was a fan theory for a long time that Stan Lee is not just a cameo in all the movies, but he is an actual character. And the theory was that he is something called a Watcher. So in the Marvel comic book universe, there are these beings called Watchers. And there's one Watcher in particular named...
Stanley.
Uatu, I think his name is. Yeah, Uatu the Watcher. Mm-hmm. And he is a character that's just sort of observing things that go on. I think he first appeared in like a Fantastic Four comic, but he's also been in like Hulk and... I don't know, just all of them. And he's always just sort of observing. And his race is like this race of beings that is supposed to just observe and not interfere. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while he will interfere and then he gets in trouble with all the other Watchers. So the fan theory was that maybe Stan Lee is not just doing cameos, but he is actually Uatu the Watcher. And for a long time that was just a fan theory. But in the movie Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which we saw...
It was amazing.
They actually sort of confirmed a similar theory. So the article says, Kevin Feige, is that how you pronounce his name?
I have no clue. Feige?
Feige or Feige?
Like beige, but with a...
basically, he's the person at Marvel who's responsible for making sure that all of the fan theory, the mythology is consistent across all the movies. So he's responsible for making sure that the plots all like interweave. And he's done a great job. I think like... He's probably the person most responsible for the success of all of the movies working out together.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 that quickly flew past a scene from Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
I'm going to say his name is Feige, just so we can get past this. Marvel chief Kevin Feige has endorsed a popular fan theory that Stan Lee is playing the same character in all of his MCU roles, or Marvel Cinematic Universe roles. Although he's been popping up in Marvel-related adaptations since the 1989's The Trial of the Incredible Hulk, and was already a recognizable figure in comics from decades before, Stan Lee's humorous cameos have, similar to post-credit scenes, become intrinsically associated with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is from Screen Rant, which is a movies website. The legendary comic writer and editor... has appeared in all 15 of the studio's films so far. Along the way, one popular fan theory that's popped up is that Lee is, in fact, not playing dozens of different characters, but one single being transversing space and time, the most prominent suggestion being Uatu the Watcher. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 nods towards this with his cameo having the icon sat talking with a group of Watchers. It may be more than an in-joke. Kevin Feige... was asked about the cameo and what it meant for the fan theory at the Guardians 2 junket press conference, and seemed to confirm the fan theory. Yes, we have always thought it would be fun. Stan Lee clearly exists, you know, above and apart from the reality of all the films. So the notion that he could be sitting there on a cosmic pit stop during the jump gate sequence of the Guardians was something very fun. James Gunn, the director of the movie, had the idea that, and we shot the cameo and loved it so much. You know, you see it a couple of times in the movie. It wasn't in for a long time, but we put it back in toward the end of the process where he references that time he was a Federal Express agent. We thought it would be fun to put that in there because that really says, so wait a minute, he's the same character who's popped up in all these films. So now the theory is he's not actually a watcher. So when you see him, he's talking to watchers, but the watchers have like these sort of giant skulls. But he is like an assistant for the watchers. So he's like a messenger for the watchers. So that's pretty fun. So the time you see him in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, this isn't really a spoiler because it doesn't really involve the plot. But there's one point where Rocket Raccoon is like piloting this spacecraft and he has to do a whole bunch of hyper jumps to get where they're going. And in one of the hyper jumps, he goes through this planet and there is Stan Lee sitting there talking to some watchers and talking about, and then this one time I was a FedEx agent. And so it's just kind of like, okay, so he's been in all these places observing and he is an assistant to the watcher. So I thought that was kind of fun and kind of funny.
Yeah, that went over my head when I saw the movie.
Yep, there's a lot of things like that that do. Like a lot of the movies, I don't know, they've got us trained to sit and watch the post-credit scenes now. And now, it used to be there was one post-credit scene, and now
there was five.
There was five post-credit
scenes. A ton in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and none of them really mattered at all.
Well, some of them actually did. Well, but,
in defense...
I'm not going to say which one they were, but some of them did have to do with future plot.
In defense of, like, five of the cutscenes, like, I really had to discipline myself. Like, I really had to just, like... I just had, like, an extra-large Slurpee. I really have to pee, but I'm gonna sit through this. You better believe I'm gonna sit here till the screen goes black.
And those credits go a long time. There's a lot of people involved with making one of those movies.
One of them shows this like snotty teenage Groot. Yeah, it's really funny.
That was funny, and a lot of them are just funny. But like some of them, like in the early Marvel movies, especially, like they'll introduce new characters that way. And if you don't know anything about the comic books, you're like, I have no idea who that is. Like, I know it's going to be important at some point, but yeah, right now I have no idea.
I really like the fact that they like took that idea that it's going to introduce somebody important at the beginning of the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And they just put
Howard the Duck.
I wanted to call him Harold. Putting him in movies.
He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
He was in number 2 also.
Stop putting him in things.
Yeah, Howard the Duck is my favorite Avenger.
Howard the Duck, no. The original movie, is like the worst movie I've ever seen.
Awful.
Have you seen it? It's so bad.
I've seen clips of it online, and it's so bad. No, it's terrible. It's terrible, and it's
probably
haunting.
The worst thing
it's hauntingly
George Lucas
awful.
Has ever been involved
He's best
in,
friends
including
with
the prequels.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. Prequels aren't nearly as bad, and that's the controversial statement that's going to get a fate.
His buddy is Jar Jar.
So, who wants to do their story next?
I will.
All right, William.
San Francisco Rat Cafe offers dining with domesticated vermin.
Yay, Rat Cafe.
May 19th, a California tourist attraction is offering guests the opportunity to dine with live rats at its pop-up rat cafe.
Ew. Seriously?
That is so gross.
I'd argue that the people already there.
Have you seen the movie Ratatouille? Like,
I'd argue...
You know that they're sensitive, empathetic.
I'd argue that cooks. The people there...
And they have gourmet tastes,
They can cook so well.
I think it was just that one rat.
So
it's just the one rat.
Yeah, but all the other rats were helping. As long as they, like, washed their paws.
It's only rats that sound like Patton Oswalt.
I'd argue that the people who work there already look like rats.
That's rude.
I'm just kidding.
William.
I don't even know the people who work
so
there.
So rude. You don't even know these people, Will. Come on.
All right, William.
The San Francisco Dungeon announced.
So the San Francisco Dungeon.
That's where they belong, in a dungeon.
I'm going to pause this just for a minute because when I read the article, I was confused. The San Francisco Dungeon is this tourist attraction. And it's near Fisherman's Wharf, which is kind of a touristy area of San Francisco.
They should
be
in a
dungeon. And it's basically
like
a theatrical presentation. Like they take you through these different parts of a dungeon, but they tell like kind of the stories of like the underground and like crime and horror and stuff that's happened in San Francisco, and they sort of have like actors that are performing different roles. So
that's cool.
It's a tourist place called the San Francisco Dungeon. That's where they have the Rat Cafe, and it's like a pop-up Rat Cafe. So keep going.
Okay. So the San Francisco Dungeon announced a Black Rat Cafe, a two-day pop-up shop that will allow visitors to interact with rats while enjoying a pastry and a coffee before entering the dungeon attraction. Before warned, the fare at this pop-up experience is neither locally grown nor sustainably sourced, the dungeon said. Guests can sip their coffee while seated at bistro-style tables, nicely draped with red and white gingham tablecloths, all while being surrounded by rats. Admission to the Black Rat Cafe, which will be open or only be open on July 1st and July 8th, is set to begin at $49.99 and will include a pastry, beverage, and admission to the dungeon. Even at $49.99, it's still cheaper than Starbucks.
I think the reason it's so expensive is because you get into the whole... Oh, that was a joke.
Yeah. They just got... Starbucks just got roasted.
Boo.
So the reason it's so expensive is because you get into the whole, it's like your admission into the place. So the thing that leapt out at me when I saw this story was it reminded me of the cafes they have in Japan. So they have, there they have cat cafes, they have owl cafes. Yeah. And I saw one place that was a hedgehog cafe.
That's a latte of animals.
Boo.
But here...
Wait, you just laughed.
But I've never seen...
Shut up.
I have never seen a rat cafe. So that's the first time. And these are like pet rats. Didn't they say in the article that you can adopt them?
Dad, you're making me steamed.
Boo.
They said in the article you can actually adopt these rats. So they are pet rats. They're domesticated rats.
Okay, so I'm kind of milking these jokes.
You stop that.
Okay.
You haven't finished it yet? I thought you were done.
San Francisco Dungeon spokesman Matthew Clarkson told Eater San Francisco that the food served at the cafe will be prepared off-site and will be cleared away before the rats are allowed into the room. We're obviously following all food and hygiene requirement, he said. California-based rat rescue and adoption agency will provide the rats with that customers of the cafe will be given the chance to interact with. I don't really...
So the rats are being supplied by a rat rescue and adoption agency. I didn't even know there were rat rescues, but I guess there are.
I feel like a gorilla cafe would be
it's
really
cool.
It's
nothing like the rat that was in our garage that turned out to be a bunny.
I would go to gorilla cafes.
I didn't hear about that at all.
Oh, this, we told the story in a previous podcast, but we thought there was a rat in our garage, and so we set out rat traps and we caught a bunny.
It was a baby bunny.
It was killed dead.
Oh boy. Okay. Well,
rats feel pain too.
It was kind of sad. And
anyways, I would totally go to a gorilla cafe.
But it's no longer living in our garage.
Okay.
It's currently haunting our garage.
I know. Now there's a baby bunny spirit that haunts our garage.
Well, that's kind of cute, I guess.
They do make good pets, and if looked after, they're as clean as a cat or a dog, Clarkson said. That reminds me, when I said I go to Gorilla Cafe, we actually went to a field trip to the zoo a couple weeks ago, and gorillas do act really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, it was just last week,
really,
I think.
Sidetracked, but
it was just last week you went to the zoo.
Was
that your favorite thing at the zoo, was the gorillas?
The gorillas and the chimpanzees. We watched them for like an hour. But we saw this plaque that said that they would hold like favorite things. So some of them like carry around leaves and put them in their mouths and take them out.
I saw an article on The Onion today that said it was an op-ed written by a chimpanzee that said, if we want to kill and eat Jane Goodall, our time is running out.
Who's Jane Goodall?
Jane Goodall is a very famous like person who has studied primates. And she like lived with chimpanzees for a long time and studied their behavior. Was like kind of a groundbreaking scientist. But the story was, if we want to kill her and eat her, our time is running out. Because she's getting kind of old.
Anyways, but the gorillas would like just kind of like scratch their heads and like move around a lot like humans. And one of them like started like standing up and like running around and like pounding his chest. It looked like he was about to fight with someone, and they just kind of gave up.
That's fun. I would like to see a gorilla pound its chest.
And at the chimpanzee exhibit, they had like these black, like really furry chimpanzees. One of them like went up to the glass and started like saying hi to everyone.
Oh yeah,
that's so cute.
Maybe he was saying hi. Maybe he was all swearing at you and calling you names.
Maybe he was thinking about which one of you was easiest to kill and eat.
For this one project, I studied lowland gorillas in sixth grade. And it's really interesting because they're a lot like humans, like their system of doing things. Like they have a leader, their families are about the same. Like I think it's like 5 to 8.
I also saw a story. I don't remember where this was. It was a zoo somewhere in, I think in the United States, where a leopard escaped its cage and attacked a monkey in another cage.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Kind of scary.
Yeah.
Or like there was this one gorilla that took out the zookeeper's phone and started taking selfies and like smiled for the
Have you ever seen the video of the person who does a really bad magic trick for, I think it was an orangutan, and the orangutan thought it was hilarious?
No, I haven't seen laughing. That.
There's this video.
You should look that up on YouTube. It's like this magic trick. It's an orangutan.
There's this video of a chimpanzee. Wait, was he laughing at how bad it was?
No, it was amazing to him. Like,
there's this video of this person who can like do iPad magic where he'll like be able to like pull peanuts out of his iPad. Like there'd be an image of a peanut and he'd be able to pull it out of his iPad. Like he'd get milk out of his iPad and stuff. And he's showing that to a chimpanzee, and the chimpanzee just like grabbed the iPad and tried to pull peanuts out of it. And then in the end he like hugged the guy.
Oh, here it is. Orangutan magic trick. This won't work very well for the podcast, but you can watch it.
He's staring at you. He looks so human-like.
So he's... This is magic trickery. He puts something in a cup. And then he like puts his hand over it, and he like obviously dumps it out. And then he shows the cup, and the ball has disappeared. And the orangutan is just like rolling around on the floor laughing at it.
You crazy guy.
Orangutans look so human-like.
Yeah, I feel like...
It's called, on YouTube, if you want to look it up, it's called Guy Performs Magic Trick for Orangutan.
Yeah, I feel like primates are a little bit... are a little bit freaky to study, because like the more you study them, the more that you realize that there's really not much of a difference between us and them. Like, not significantly, anyways.
I feel like some... By the way, when you heard about the how they'd have favorite items, there was a kid... We were in like a really large group because our friend group has like expanded and gotten like really complicated, and there's been like side students stuff. And we were watching the gorillas with their leaves and their rocks carrying around. And there's a kid who said that we were going to see a gorilla with a fidget spinner someday.
They probably love that.
They would like to play with it. They might eat it though.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I actually had a story that might make the Rat Cafe. It might change your mind a little bit about eating. Eating dinner with rats, because I got lost in the animal side of YouTube today.
Oh,
I fell down
ago.
A YouTube hole.
That's why I saw a chimpanzee magic video.
Yeah. But I ended up on this video that was like, apparently there's tickle scientists, like scientists who study like why we have that tickling response. And so what they did was they would tickle rats. Like lab rats?
I just saw an article about this.
Yeah.
So when we were talking about it, I think I remembered I'd seen an article about this at some point.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article in National Geographic about watch what happens when scientists tickle a rat.
Yeah, and they love it. They love having their belly tickled. And they're like, when they stop being tickled, they'll like go try and get some more tickles. And they just absolutely are crazy for it. And the happiness part of their brain lights up and they...
Yep. It says in the article,
make happy squeaks.
How to tickle a rat. To induce rat giggles in the laboratory, researchers alternated between gentle caresses and rougher prods, even sometimes flipping the rats onto their backs so that they could really work the belly. To hear their chuckles, the scientists set up a device capable of capturing high frequencies, since rats emit laughter or ultrasonic vocalizations at levels above our range of hearing. In order to record neuron activity, the scientists implanted devices inserted directly into the rats' brains. This allowed them to observe how the rats' brains reacted to tickling, as well as artificially stimulate those areas that produce rat giggles independent of tickling. It's a study that was done last November about rat tickles. And I was reading, like, there are certain species that are more ticklish than others, like humans and primates and rats apparently are the ones that are the most ticklish.
It's kind of although there's humans some, and primates
there's some
and
reason
rats.
To believe, like, all animals are some degree of ticklish.
Yeah, I saw another thing when I got sucked into the animal side of YouTube a couple of weeks ago. I also saw this orangutan that was trained to copy people. Like, if he said hi, it would say, "Hoo." And I also saw this, like, pet tarantula that was trained to give people high fives. Like, you could, like, lift out a finger and it would, like, aww, put its...
Somehow, like, I don't think it was really giving high fives.
It put its, like, little leg on it.
It must just be something that a spider does.
It was cool, though.
Like, when you...
I think that it was a something that a spider does, but I think that it definitely was high fives, though. I think all spiders are secretly just super chill dudes.
I've actually read about having pet tarantulas. It actually sounds kind of cool. I mean,
not going to leave you hanging.
I definitely don't want one.
Nah, man.
But it sounds kind of cool to have a pet tarantula.
I think a while back, I think about a couple months ago, I ended up, again, down an animal YouTube hole. And apparently spiders are really not as likely as you think to bite you. Like, a lot of times spider bites are way overdiagnosed because, like... They don't usually want to bite you because, like, that's what they use to digest their food with. And so they don't have a lot of it. You see, like, all those pictures all the time of, like, arachnologists, I guess. Scientists who study spiders with, like, a black widow just chilling on their face or whatever. Yeah, which is like freaky, but...
They're the second deadliest spiders ever.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you know how to handle them, then they really aren't too aggressive and you can just about...
Yeah, black widows aren't actually aggressive. We get those in our garage.
They're shy.
Sometimes, too.
Yeah, and spiders usually are very shy.
And they're easy to identify.
Yeah, I became more sympathetic towards spiders because our apartment that we live in Denton right now, we have a lot more bugs in there, and I hate cockroaches now. I used to be scared of them.
Cockroaches are gross.
Now I just hate them. But honestly, like, spiders, I wasn't too scared at the prospect of having spiders in my house because at least they'll eat the bugs that are getting into everything. And
I remember there's one, like, cartoon that I watched where these kids, like, unleash cockroaches for some reason. There's, like, this news report about it, and the news reporter says that cockroaches are disgusting. They spread diseases and they eat babies.
If they were big enough, they probably would.
All right, Elizabeth, you want to read your story?
Yeah.
But what were you saying about spiders?
Sorry, they're just secretly really chill. They're chill dudes.
They'll leave you alone for the most part.
Yeah.
I think they'll only bite you if they feel threatened.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, people always claim that, like, they get these spider bites that they don't know how they got them.
What are scorpions are like that?
I don't know.
I think scorpions are pretty aggressive, yeah.
Maybe they're tired of us putting them in lollipops.
That's such a weird thing to do, though. Okay, this article says Texas storm chaser proposes in front of oncoming tornado.
Oh boy.
A Texas storm chaser combined two of his greatest loves by proposing to his girlfriend in front of an oncoming tornado. Alex Bartholomew shared photos as he got down on one knee to propose to Brittany Fox Caton in a field of McLean while a twister raged in the distance. Wow, what a day. Two, maybe three tornadoes, great storms, and most importantly, she said yes, Bartholomew wrote on Facebook. Bartholomew told Clayton they were going on a routine storm chase while he was actually planning the extravagant proposal. I had no idea. It was a complete shock, she told Inside Edition. I just nodded because I couldn't get words out. I was tearing up so bad. Bartholomew enlisted the help of his friend Jason Cooley, who managed to capture photos of the massive storm behind the proposal. I wanted to get the tornado right in between them, Cooley said. I was worried the tornado was going to disappear. The tornado waited for us. The scene was perfect. The tornado appeared to be about 2 miles away from the couple and was likely one of two reported by the Storm Prediction Center near McLean, neither of which caused any damage. Bartholomew said he was overjoyed following the proposal, which exceeded his expectations. I really wanted to combine my two greatest loves into one shot, he said. It was better than what I imagined.
So, couple things.
One. No, play the boo sound effect. I want revenge.
What? Why?
Because he kept on booing while he was laughing at my joke. Or he kept on playing the boo sound effect while he was
booing?
Obviously laughing at
my
joke.
What?
He didn't. He didn't even make the joke. Though. Do you want to? Do you want to boo this?
Oh, I didn't. Even
oh,
mean
I mean,
that
I guess.
Pun. I did not mean that as a pun. So a couple of things, though. Two things.
Oh.
One. Like, how long would you have to plan that? Like, if you wanted to wait until there was a tornado in the background while you proposed, would you just wait? Just make sure she's with you every time you go looking for a tornado? And it may take months. It may take a year.
When they move in.
And they don't really say that in the article. Like, how long did it take? And then the other thing is, when he says his two favorite things are his fiancé and a tornado, like, does he like them equally? Does he like the tornado more? Does he like the fiance more?
When they
or is
move,
it just like his two favorite things?
I wasn't proposing to you. I was proposing to the tornado.
When they buy
what? I can't hear you.
When they buy a house, their first game to put in the game closet will be Twister.
Boo.
No, no, not
boo.
Another boo. No.
Boo.
Shut
him.
Up. Yeah, there we go. Aww. Their first son will be called Rainy.
Oh, that was... Thank you.
So what if... And then the other thing is, what if there was like a horrible accident? Like he's trying to propose to her. Like now is the perfect time. And then the Twister comes and like sweeps them both away and they die.
Yeah.
Or like impales them with like a fence post or something.
Oh, that would be tragic. Like right as he got down on one knee, he gets
maybe
impaled.
He was proposing to the tornado and he saw the tornado as a beautiful person who he liked hanging out with and the... Her girlfriend has a giant destructive ball of ugliness.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't even know how to react to that one.
See, I read the title and all I thought was like, you're doing this now? You couldn't think of a better time? But it seemed like this was pretty deliberately planned out, so I guess there was no better time.
Perfect for him. He's a storm chaser, but like
I mean, it sounds like she's into it, too. Like
you're at the weather's mercy, though. Like, if that's what you want to do, how long would you have to wait? I guess you just have to be patient.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there certainly is, like, tornado season. I think you might have just been planning it, like, around that.
Yeah,
and I think you really don't, like, get out of the car until you, like, can see the tornado.
What if they made a picture of that? And they tried to, like, Photoshop it, but the Photoshop recognized the sky as green screen. And the... I don't know what
I was
going.
Trying to fake it?
I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, that would be easier just to try and fake it. Let's do something we haven't done in a while. Let's do some either or.
Oh, yeah, either or.
We haven't done that in a while?
We haven't done it in a while.
But
I think it's been
several
episodes.
I'm the master of coming up with either or things.
Yep, but you came up with one of these. We've got five either ors to discuss. The first one is fidget spinners or bottle flipping?
Fidget spinners.
Way less annoying.
Yes.
Oh, ball flipping is very satisfying.
Much less annoying. Although I've noticed
much
that
less annoying.
Lately, the more popular fidget spinners get, the more backlash there is against them.
Well, yeah, that's for everything, though.
There's a lot of fidget spinner hate out there now.
You know why?
Yeah.
But they are, I think they're way less annoying than bottle flipping. Something about flipping is just so annoying.
It's because it's like the combination of somebody throwing something so you kind of flinch. Plus like the crinkling, yeah, like the plastic crinkling noise and like the fluid swishing noise.
It is really satisfying to see someone like landed like on top of a fridge or something.
And when people just do it over and
over
and over.
And they can't get
stop.
It right. Yeah, that's more likely than them actually successfully doing anything.
You know,
whereas
if I were to...
fidget spinners, I don't know, they're kind of fun to spin.
They're kind of fun to look at, too. Like, and they're quiet.
I've been thinking that if I were to design a fidget toy, then I would design like a fidget... cube, but like
they have those
from the left and the right. Yeah, I know that. From the left and the right, it would be joysticks I could click, and then on top there'd be like a mini fidget spinner, so you could like click them with your middle finger and your
thumb,
and then you could spin the fidget spinner with your index finger.
Huh.
I think that'd be cool.
That might be cool.
Me and Henry have been making a bunch of fidget spinners out of Legos. Some of them last. I mean, relatively long amount of time, like only like 7 seconds. But
how long did your fidget spinners? So you guys got fidget spinners for the first time a couple weeks ago. How long did yours last?
Like for a month until it snapped in half.
I don't think it lasted a month. I think it was.
And then I finally tried to apply pressure, and it actually held its shape for a while. And I was like, "Hey guys, it finally held its shape," and just then it broke.
Yeah. The next one, crossword or word search?
Oh, didn't I come up with this one?
I don't know. Did you?
I think so.
Crossword or word search?
Crossword, that's easy.
I think for you, crossword.
You're correct.
Yeah, for me, it's word search. I don't know why.
I think word searches are like kind of the worst kind of puzzle there is.
Yeah, they just like that you're just finding words.
I don't like Sudoku as much as I like.
It's sort of like if you really want to find a word, you can look at every single letter for the letter that starts the word.
No, wait. My strategy is you can just look at every single letter and look at all nine. Or
that's everyone's strategy, yeah. I don't know. I like
both. Layers surrounding it.
I like both. It's just like
crosswords
mindless.
Can be frustrating. Like if you like just not able to finish it because you don't know like a couple of the clues.
Yeah.
But it is more satisfying when you finish one. When you finish a word search, it's like, I'm done.
I feel like with puzzles like this, the more complicated it is, the more fun it is.
See, I feel like with crossword puzzles, like I'm less likely to finish it, and you have to, like, sustain your concentration for, like, a long period of time. And, like, I don't want that out of my puzzles. That's not what I'm looking for. I want something mindless.
I really, like, for my birthday, I got, like, word finds and crossword puzzles from Phoebe, which I really liked, and Elizabeth called me an old man.
That's because... a little bit.
I also have a Sudoku book, and the thing about Sudoku is... almost every time I'll like figure out there's like one number that's out of place and I'll mess everything up. Like when I check my answers.
Yeah, I don't like Sudoku.
I like Sudoku. It's kind of fun.
I figured out another strategy besides elimination. It's like if there's a place where one number can go and no other numbers can go, then that number's there.
Yep, that's the whole thing with Sudoku.
But then the other strategy is the opposite, and it's where if a number can't go any other places, then it goes in one square.
Yeah.
Like there's like two inverted strategies.
Next, either or, Sprite or 7-Up.
Didn't I make this one?
Sprite.
No, I didn't. 7-Up.
Elizabeth. William.
Who drinks 7-Up?
Okay, they're almost the same thing.
Yeah, but 7-Up's the one that you drink when you're 7-Up sick.
7-Up is like, to me, it's Sprite like is a weird. Little bit more syrupy. And 7-Up is a little more crisp.
Plus, 7-Up has more flavors, or at least more like actually famous
also,
flavors.
Also, 7-Up seems like more classic, old-timey.
If you want crisp, then just go drink water.
Ginger ale is really good, too.
Water's okay if there's nothing else to drink.
Now, whenever I think ginger ale,
you only drink... See, I only drink 7-Up when I'm sick, and I only drink ginger ale when I'm on a plane.
Now, whenever I
think a lot of people only drink 7-Up or ginger ale when they're on a plane.
Yeah,
that's one of the only places I ever drink ginger ale.
Now, whenever I think of ginger ale, I think of that one night where on Christmas Eve, where I had to stay in the hospital for like 4 hours because my mom thought they had appendicitis. I came home at like 11 and my dinner... I had to try to not throw up, so my dinner was a glass of ginger ale, Jell-O, and a Go-Gurt.
Yum. Yeah.
But now ginger ale always reminds me of that.
All right, speaking of airplanes, this is the one you did come up with, William. Car trip or airplane trip?
I know which one you're going to say, but plane
car trip. Car trip.
Plane trip, but I know which one you're going to say.
Car trip.
Elizabeth?
Car trip. What?
William.
Okay, mom disagrees with you.
The thing about the thing is, you can go more interesting places on an airplane than you can go in a car.
I feel like...
I like car trips.
See, I thought that wasn't the question, though. I didn't think that was the question. I thought, like, if we were going to, like, Colorado, like, fly to Colorado or, like,
maybe that's
drive
why.
To Colorado type
I
think, thing.
I mean, if I had... All other things equal, I would rather fly to Colorado. I'd rather fly to Denver from Dallas.
But that's a pain.
It's like an hour and a half, and it's all over, and then you're there.
Maybe the reason why...
Versus a whole day of in a car.
Maybe the reason for this is because planes take less time, but
that is
I never feel
that's
like...
That's the big reason.
I never feel like, oh, I'm stuck in a car. I never feel like, oh, I'm stuck in a plane, but I always feel like, oh, I'm stuck in a car. When we had Sir,
also you can go overseas,
Dad.
When we had Sir,
it's
over
not, It's not about the destination.
Yes,
it's about the journey.
When we had
don't boo me. That's mean. I feel hurt.
What about Sir William?
When we had Sir
he loved car trips.
Yeah, we were all like cramped in car trip. And the car trip, and we were just like super grumpy, and then Sir was like having the time of his life.
I have never known a dog that enjoys being in the car more than Sir did. He would just like, you could tell it's where he wanted to be always, because it was like, I got my family around me, I'm in the car, I'm happy.
We'd always
Maisie
park in
is
front
the
of
opposite.
The...
She hates being in the car. It makes her very anxious.
Yeah, and our first dog, Wojo, didn't like that either.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of dogs are like that. So we've had two dogs that hated it and one dog that loved it.
Also, I remember whenever we let Sir drive or be in shotgun, we'd always like park in front of a restaurant, and when you come back, Sir would always be in the driver's seat.
Always want to be in the driver's seat, yeah.
My last owner let me drive.
Something about Maisie. Me and Henry drove to go get custard the other day because they were having some sort of sale, and I think we were the only two people home at that point. But we took Maisie because I thought, like, well, it's a short trip. It's like 5 minutes from our house, and you know, she's got to get used to the car at some point, so, like, might as well. So we put her in the back seat, and we get in the car, and she's, like, whining or whatever, and panting because she's anxious. And so we went to go get custard, and we got custard, and I got lost on the way home in, like, one of the neighborhoods. Mm. Like, right next to the...
I could walk home from there.
I've
walked home from Kroger.
I know, but, like... We didn't take that route. We took, like, through a neighborhood that I didn't know. And
why did you do
Maisie,
that?
Halfway through, Maisie started farting, like, anxiously farting. And it wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop.
Sir's farts are terrible, too. Boston Terriers have bad farts.
I think all dogs have
all
bad
dogs
farts,
have bad farts.
And most humans as well.
Yeah.
Farts are just not that pleasant.
But the dogs.
Maisie's are really bad.
Dog farts are awful. Yeah, so she wouldn't quit, like, anxiously farting throughout the entire time. I literally thought she was just going to poop right there because she was so, like, nervous about being in the car. Anyway, so she's a nervous farter in the car.
So I was just thinking about how Mom would say that apparently one of her kids, when he or she was a baby, would, like, fart and then laugh.
Was that you? I feel like
you
I feel
laughed.
Like it was. Well, because farts are objectively funny. I think that was you, though. Like, I think I might remember that. Maybe.
One more.
Okay.
Sweatpants or pajama pants?
Sweatpants. We can use them for more things.
Pajama pants.
Elizabeth?
No, which one are you going to say?
Yes.
Oh, no, William. That's not what I expected again.
Listen,
I am
pajama
wearing
pants.
Pajama pants right now.
But you can wear sweatpants anywhere. There's these one type of sweatpants
yeah,
I can wear
can
to school,
also,
too.
You can
you
also
what,
wear
William?
Pajama pants anywhere.
You can wear pajama pants anywhere if you have no shame.
I mean, I never get changed into pajamas anymore because I'm too lazy.
You really
but...
shouldn't wear pajama pants to school unless it's wear pajamas today. To
I guess.
Do you have a wear pajamas to work day that nobody does?
No. I'm so grateful.
Oh, I thought you had something like that.
No, wearing a pajamas to work day would
or do you
be a
have
terrible
like a wear,
idea.
You
why?
Have like a wear
would you fall asleep?
No, it just, you don't want to see all your coworkers in pajamas.
Well, didn't you have like a wear something?
Plus it feels very elementary school like.
Yeah, didn't you have like a wear something?
Tomorrow to... it's crazy hat day.
Yeah, but didn't you have like a wear something to work today? Or something?
Well, sometimes they'll have like, you know, wear your favorite sports jersey or something like that.
Oh, and that's not elementary school.
It's still a little weird. It's still a little weird. When we have those days, it makes me feel a little weird, to be honest. But pajamas would be way too far. And our current CEO right now, I think he still, like, in his heart of hearts, believes we should all be wearing, like, business attire, like suits and ties.
That's probably good.
His heart has a heart.
His heart. Everyone has a heart of hearts. Don't you know about the heart of hearts?
As a CEO, nice.
It's like your deepest feelings. But oh. he allows us to have business casual just because that's what people like.
What's the CEO not like?
What's that?
What's the CEO like?
He's a good guy. Yeah.
You were obligated
I don't
to say.
Talk to him all the time. No, he is a good guy. I like our CEO. But anyway. So yes. Pajama pants is the right answer because they're just so much more comfortable.
They're
sweatpants
so comfy.
Aren't bad
and,
either.
And you can get them in like all kinds of crazy patterns.
And you don't feel obligated to like exercise. Sweatpants, whenever I'm wearing sweatpants, I feel like
You know,
I should be like working out or something because I'm wearing sweatpants.
And pajama pants are just so much more fun. Like they come in all kinds of crazy, like you can't find sweatpants. Yeah, but like the only difference between like sweatpants and pajama pants is that you can find, like if you took sweatpants and you printed like Pikachu on them, they'd automatically be pajama pants.
It's true.
And they'd automatically be better. Like,
yeah, there are like pants people wear to school that have like imagery on them. They're kind of weird.
All right, I have one other thing that we haven't done in a while. Really quickly, let's do a hypothetical.
Oh. What I just said was only hypothetical. Oh. I thought you were talking about treat yourself, which you do way too much.
Here's a hypothetical. Once again, this is from Chuck Klosterman's Hypertheticals. This one is called...
Klosterman-senpai, of course.
A Life in Film. For whatever reason, two unauthorized movies are made about your life.
That's creepy. The first
is an independently released documentary, primarily composed of interviews with people who know you and bootleg footage from your actual life. Critics are describing the documentary as brutally honest and relentlessly fair. Meanwhile, Columbia TriStar has produced a big-budget biopic of your life, casting major Hollywood stars as you and all your acquaintances. Though the movie is based on actual events, screenwriters have taken some liberties with the facts. Critics are split on the artistic merits of this fictionalized account, but audiences love it. So there's two different versions of your life. There's the actual documentary, and they've got like secretly filmed your life and talked to people and interviewed people that know you.
Pregnant
or there's like
alien?
The based on a true story where like Hollywood actors play people in your life, but it's not really... It's not really like your life, but it's based on your life, and it's very popular, although the critics kind of, some say it's good and some say it's bad.
It's time I admit that I'm
Here's the question. Here's the hypothetical question. Which film would you be more interested in seeing?
Oh, boy. I'd be...
And why, of course.
I feel like I am so self-absorbed. I would watch both of them simultaneously.
I mean, one of them would show... The fake one would show me, like, being nice, like being, like, a philanthropist, like, all the time because it's fake. And then the other one would show that one time that I bombed that building.
Which one would you be interested in seeing?
No witnesses.
Oh.
Both would get bad reviews.
I'm going to answer this as... I think it would be easier for me to see the Hollywood blockbuster movie version of my life because I could tell people, yeah, it's not really true, but it was entertaining. The other one I think would be more painful to watch because it'd be like, oh, they really found out who I am.
Or maybe the Hollywood blockbuster one would be like all those like the blank show, like the...
So for that reason...
Or like the Bill Cosby show or like the Jim Gaffigan show where like they're not actually their lives, they're like exaggerated versions.
That's the reason why I would prefer to see the Hollywood one because... I don't know, like something that was too brutally honest, I think would be really difficult to watch. And I wouldn't want other people watching it either. I don't want people to know that much about me.
I would hate both. I would just cringe watching both ones because it's... Ugh.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy either way. I mean, I think on one hand, it would be kind of painful to watch the documentary. But on the other hand, like, my life is so boring. What could they possibly make out of, like, into, like, a big budget, like, audience, like crowd-pleasing Hollywood film?
Well, obviously, like, they would have to make up a whole bunch of stuff.
A whole bunch.
I mean, reality.
You know what's interesting, though, is, like, have you ever, like, you watch a movie and it says it's, like, based on true events?
And then you find out, like,
and then you go back and, like, research it and you're like, none of this happened.
Yeah, and, like, the thing that makes me most angry is when, like, the stuff that actually happened, way more interesting.
Batman versus the Alien.
Like, for example, the movie The Imitation Game was based on the life of Alan Turing. They made up a lot of crap in that movie. It was a fairly well-made movie, but a lot of it was made up. And the actual story, I think, is actually more interesting than what they put in the movie.
Yeah.
Batman versus the alien octopi and spaceships based on a true story.
Okay, so here's
And then, like, another example is the movie The Social Network, which is about, like, the founding of Facebook.
Well,
not everything. I mean, there were actually parts of that movie that were, like, based on depositions, like, with the two twins that are suing...
The Winklevoss.
The Winklevoss. The Winklevoss twins.
Whatever. Something dorky sounded.
That are suing Mark Zuckerberg. So parts of it were real, but a lot of it, like particularly the stuff about Mark Zuckerberg himself.
Yeah.
Like basically, you know, the guy who wrote the screenplay, Aaron Sorkin, said, Like, we're going to make it based on the fact that Aaron Zuckerberg himself is, like, socially dysfunctional. And the whole reason he created Facebook was just to get back at this girlfriend who dumped him. And that whole storyline was completely made up.
Yeah.
Never like, happened.
Yeah, he isn't,
and Mark
like,
Zuckerberg isn't a totally, like, socially dysfunctional
person. No, he's not.
Person.
He's not a sociopath. He was, by all accounts, just kind of a nerdy college kid.
You can have, like, your opinions about, like, the fact that that it's been so successful and how they use it and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But to make up all this stuff about Mark Zuckerberg's personal life is kind of mean.
Yeah. And kind of like gross and slimy to do. Like that's a slimy thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially when like most of your marketing campaign is based on a true story.
Yeah. And everyone that watches it is like, oh, I know so much about this now because I watched the movie. And then it turns out that's just made up. Some screenwriter just made that up.
That's like saying,
oh, this would be a good story.
Yeah.
That's like saying that someone knows the entire plot of the Percy Jackson series by watching the two movies.
Yeah.
But if it were made up about my life, I would want to watch the made up version because I could tell people, yeah, it was entertaining, but it had nothing to do with
see,
me, really.
Here's. I
also,
feel
I'd
like
be curious
I,
to see who they got to play me in.
No, here's the thing about that, though.
Friends.
Would they make us a jerk?
Yeah, because there's a lot of situations in my life. The most, I think, dramatic situations, like, I feel like would be grossly misinterpreted by Hollywood because everything in real life isn't black and white. Almost everything is some shade of gray, and I feel like...
It's true.
And
always,
I feel like I'd be more concerned about...
So
I feel like if I was a protagonist, I'd come out okay, but, like, if... I feel like what they would do to, like, my friends and family specifically and how they would choose to portray them, like, I feel like I wouldn't be okay with.
So then your movie about you could be, like, 49.9 shades of gray.
Every
Boo!
Every movie they do so
be,
even documentaries, so
it's gonna be
every,
the episode where we bully William off.
And maybe
podcast.
Even especially documentaries in a way. Because like every documentary, they usually start with like hundreds of hours of footage and then they like make editorial decisions about what they're actually gonna show in the movie based on what story they wanna tell.
Yeah.
So there's some really good documentaries out there that definitely tell stories. Like one of my favorite documentaries ever is a documentary called King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. Have you heard about this?
I think so.
And it's about like the guy who breaks the record for Donkey Kong, like the world record for Donkey Kong. And then like this rivalry he has with this other like coin-op arcade game guy that like they have this competition to see who can be better at Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they tell the story is really interesting. It's like, you know, and the way they build up these characters, these really crazy characters that are real people. And it's based on their real lives, but it's really...
Yeah, no,
really
and my
good,
my favorite
really
documentary, which I think is also one of your favorites too, Mistaken for Strangers.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite documentary.
Yeah, that's my favorite documentary.
But I've actually always really liked nature documentaries.
Yeah, they're soothing. But
I'm kind of an old man because I like crossword puzzles, Sudoku, and nature documentaries.
Yeah. But the thing about Mistaken for Strangers is that, like, through the entire, like, almost the entire movie, like, the guy who's filming everything, like, you're just, like, cringing at this dude because he's making all these, like, terrible decisions and, like...
Yeah, so the interesting thing about it is... So Mistaken for Strangers is a documentary about the band The National, but it's really about the brother of the lead singer of the band who's making the movie, but then the movie becomes about him. So it's really
interesting. And like specifically his relationship to his brother.
And then it sort of like turns inside out on itself because it's a movie about the guy who's making the movie, and the movie that he's making doesn't make him look very good. It makes him look bad, but he kind of purposely makes it that way. So
yeah,
really,
and the more you think about it, like, the smarter it gets, almost. It's just a really, really good movie. Like, if you're into documentaries or The National or...
Yeah. Also, it's one of my favorite bands, so I enjoy all the music in it.
Oh, but. Yeah, me too. Like, every single time I watch that movie, I just go back and, like, listen to The National for the next month or so. I think... back to the hypothetical, I think I'd rather watch the documentary. I think the hard-hitting truths about myself I'm already aware of, so I think they just make me laugh.
Well, actually, kind of cool just to see, like, someone just, like, just talking about you and your life.
Wouldn't you be kind of a little anxious about watching it, though?
Oh, I'd be so anxious about watching both of them, but I think that I'd rather have the truth than some Hollywood crap.
Maybe if it was one that nobody saw, like just you saw, I could just like see like a whole movie just dedicated to you.
I wouldn't want it to affect my life.
It does say which one would you be more interested in seeing.
Yeah, I would be. I would want either of them to affect my life. I wouldn't want to be famous. But
it's just like dedicated to you. Which
see all of the bad stuff.
Is that your answer too, William?
Yeah.
All of the bad stuff that they'd have to say about me, like, look at this pretentious wannabe writer college kid. Like, I already know how pretentious I am, y'all. You can lay that on thick. I'll just think it's funny, honestly.
I have one more thing to do, and that is treat yourself.
Three words for you. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
I love Taste Yourself.
Yeah, I love Taste Yourself.
All right.
Yeah, we're a family of cannibals.
Today, salty. For Treat Yourself,
they descended from the Crocodiles.
We have something I found in the store Five Below. Have you ever been to Five Below, Elizabeth?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
I kind of like Five Below.
I love Five Below.
It's sort of like a dollar store, except stuff goes up to $5, and they have some kind of fun stuff
in
there.
It's a classy joint.
It kind of reminds me of Japanese dollar stores. Like there's
Daiso.
Kind of cooler stuff in there.
Oh, like all those
But
places.
One of the things they have in Five Below is they have a whole bunch of weird candy. And candy that you can't find anywhere else. And I went into Five Below.
Hold on, that's the exact description of
looking for
treat
something.
Yourself. Food and that you can't find anywhere else. It's
here's what
weird.
I found: orange creamsicle and key lime pie Twizzlers.
Okay, I can roll with this.
So
I like orange creamsicle.
I
want
to say they're
going
to taste really good, but they're probably going to taste awful.
I'm inclined to like them because I like yourself. Chewy things that are filled with squishy things.
Gross.
I like filled Twizzlers and like if there's
filled. Okay, I can
like something
I like
chewy on the outside, but it's got something squishy on the inside.
Yeah,
but
I can dig that.
For some reason, I always like that.
I can. Yeah, no, I don't actually like just random
like cow
flavored
tails?
Twizzlers.
I like cow tails.
I do like. I know how gross they
I know
are.
A lot
I
of people hate them.
I'm fully aware.
I like cow tails,
but I like them. Some
I'm
people really hate
so
them.
So aware that they are disgusting, but I can't stop
but
putting
like, them.
Like eating them
because they're chewy on the outside and they've got something.
Yeah, I really like filled Twizzlers. I like the like inside. Lemonade filled one with
all
a
right.
clear filling.
Yeah, those aren't too bad.
Yeah, we're like the fruit flavored ones are like brightly colored with filling in them. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I don't like about Twizzlers is that they kind of tend to be like taste like waxy on the outside when they're not like regular licorice flavors, or even sometimes when they are.
Yeah, I'm not,
I love how they're
a
lot thicker
huge
when
fan
they're
of just Twizzler licorice. I would rather have Grud Vines.
That was the easy one.
But I like Twizzler nibs.
You do like Twizzler nibs?
I like Twizzler nibs. They're really chewy. They kind of taste rubbery, but I like them anyway.
For some reason,
I like
the
flavor.
I feel like the ones that are filled kind of like have a different texture on the outside. I like how they're like thicker when they're filled.
All right, so I'm going to pass these out, and then I'm going to mute the mic so that we don't have any mouth noises.
And they're just kind of satisfying to hold.
All right, so the first one we're going to try is the orange creamsicle filled Twizzlers. Orange cream pop, actually.
Those are better than I expected.
Those were really good.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
Yeah, they were a lot better than I expected. They're
like, I would totally bring this to my next like movie trip.
I don't think that Mom would like these.
Are we all in agreement?
Yeah,
I think it's... Yum, 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 delicioso!
They're really soft, they're really sweet, and they do taste like a creamsicle.
But they're a little bit tangy.
Or orange cream pop flavor, which is what they call them. This is the flavor of Florida. These are flavor of Florida. Both of these, for some reason, they're flavor of Florida.
What
Twizzlers.
Does that even mean?
Orange cream pop and, well, key lime pie makes sense. And they have like a little picture of
oranges.
Florida on them. Because key lime pies come from Key West and the Florida Keys. All right, let's try the key lime pie.
I love making, I'm sure everyone's done this, but I love making braids out of the like two Twizzler strips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that these are like lime versions of orange cream. I'd say they're slightly not as good as the orange cream ones, but still really good.
I think
the interesting thing is
they nailed it. They got like the graham cracker crust type taste.
Yeah, you taste the graham cracker crust from the key lime pie.
I am impressed. I think they're both really good. Like they're dead on.
I absolutely think it's delicioso.
Mm-hmm.
These are really good. Yeah, they actually taste like a key lime pie.
Yeah.
They're not just lime flavored, which is what I expected.
Yeah, you got like the lime, the whipped cream, the...
They taste like key lime pie.
They almost like... I can almost feel like I... Like the almost Kool-Aid, Cool Whip type...
The creamy flavor. Stuff in the...
Yeah.
These are really
good.
Yeah,
like good. When you get like the key lime pie like shake from Sonic or whatever, like it tastes like that.
I expected them to maybe like okay or decent or maybe disgusting.
They're both really good.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
The taste
they're...
of... Flavor of Florida Twizzlers.
I might even say these are the best. I might even say this is the best treat yourself they've had in a long time.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
I have no idea if these are available like everywhere. I know they were available at Five Below when I went there, but they are Taste of Florida filled Twizzlers.
I also like squeezing out the filling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're really good. I like them. Very good.
Well, I noticed that the filling has most of the flavor, but it's still really good.
It's still good.
And that is our podcast. So thank you, Elizabeth and William, for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who's listening. Let us know what you think about whether we ought to keep doing the podcast or whether we should do less episodes or what your thoughts are. Thank you. If you are listening, the way you can reach out to us is you can send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. We're at Talk to Dad Podcast. You can send us an email at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at ttdpodcast.com. You can go to talktodadpodcast.com to get all of our old episodes. With especially like to thank the Foxy Morons, which is the band that does the music we use for our intro and outro music. Thank them for letting us use that music. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.